Yo, what's going on, everyone? It's Brian here with Drink a Beer and Play a Game, and welcome to another episode of the Power Hour podcast. So, as you will notice, I am flying solo tonight. Jim's busy. He's on vacation at Busch Gardens with the family. So, you know what? He's covered for me more than enough. He's earned a very big vacation. I give him hell, but the dude busts his ass for the channel, so I truly appreciate it. So, I'm taking over this week. And I'm doing something a little different. Jim may or may not know this, but we usually cover a lot of video game topics, and we're going to talk some video game stuff. But if you guys follow this channel, you know there's one thing I probably love more than gaming. It's horror stuff and Halloween. So I figured in a special Halloween edition tonight, I'm going to cover some things like best horror movies to watch for Halloween, best horror video games, best beers for Halloween, and I found a list on Thrillist for the best Halloween candy. So it's going to be filled with Halloween stuff. I hope you all will enjoy it. But just want to say welcome, guys. It's been crazy as usual on my end between work, real life, doing stuff with the kiddos for fall. You know, you don't have a moment to yourself. But tonight, I'm actually I'm just drinking the Sam Adams Jacko Pumpkin Ale. I've covered this beer many times on this podcast, and it's such a solid, like, go-to pumpkin beer. If you're someone who's not really into pumpkin beer, I have it because I got a variety pack, and they have a flannel weather or flannel jacket something beer. It's a Dunkel. If you've never tried it, I would highly recommend it if you like Dunkel style beers. So here we go. You can see, kind of cloudy, not too crazy. Heads, it's fine, but let's see how it tastes. You guys don't need to hear me sipping into a mic. Ooh, that is good. Goddamn, Sam Adams, they make good beer. I don't care what anyone says. Highly recommend it. This bad boy comes in at 4.4%. Super, super easy to drink. Only 8 IBUs. And if you're unfamiliar with what IBUs are, that's basically tells you how sweet or bitter it is. The higher the IBUs, the more bitter. So your IPAs are going to be minimum probably 40s, 50s. Sweeter beers are going to be much lower. It says Jacko's cinnamon and nutmeg aromas recall memories of freshly baked pumpkin pie. It has the ideal balance of seasonal spices with a crisp, refreshing finish. That's the thing that really stands out with this beer is the cinnamon. I don't know if you guys have ever tried sweet cinnamon, but it's very different than the spiciness of regular cinnamon. That's what this tastes like, very, very strong. And I don't think enough of the pumpkin beers take advantage of trying to get that sweet cinnamon flavor. So, cheers to that. So, at the time of recording this, as far as gaming this past week, I actually streamed and finished Sniper Killer. So, once again, huge thank you. You guys always show up. You support me. You give me some love. I've been fairly consistent now. It's 3 weeks in a row where I've continued playing. And as I mentioned last week, the Jordan Knight Torture Star games, I have a fondness for them. This particular one, I'm not going to say is the greatest. It's kind of like, I don't know. Those games are weird and they're gory and they're very slashery 80s, 90s, like, you know, like bad horror movies. And whenever you play as a killer, I always feel like, man, you're going a little too far with this shit. And that's weird coming from a guy who loves horror stuff. But yeah, it was, the dialogue was hilarious. I think the gameplay just basically was the similar to Sniper Elite. Like, you slowed down time, you shot, and a lot of times you got these x-ray, not even x-ray, just these crazy animations of, like, people's heads exploding, and you see their eyeballs and their brains. So, funny moments, but as a whole, it was fine. I think a lot of those style games, it comes down to, do you enjoy the plot? Do you enjoy the story, what they're trying to do? There is, of course, twist at the end, and I'm not going to spoil it. If you watch the stream, you already know what I'm talking about. If not, it's worth a try, especially if you're already a Patreon supporter of Puppet Combo. Then you get it for free. But I don't know how much it is, but I do know it's available on pretty much every platform. Outside of that, though, new Call of Duty dropped. So just like clockwork, me and my buddies got together, did the midnight release, and sure enough, like every modern game, I had already downloaded 110 gigs worth of stuff for the game. Like, I pre-downloaded the night before. Go to turn it on when it's midnight, and there's a 44 gig update. Don't know how I missed it. I thought I clicked everything, and my internet usually cruises around 300, 400 megs. It was crawling at like 80 that night. So it took me like an hour to download this update. My buddies were waiting for me, so finally we got in, and it's pretty damn good. What I like about it is the movement is so much smoother than all other Call of Duties, and it's kind of slowed down. I don't know how else to describe it. Even though you have the crazy ass now, like sliding backwards, sliding sideways, when you're in the middle of jumping in the air, you can turn around and be like an action movie. Even with all that craziness, the movement seems just slowed down. That's the best way I can describe it. The guns feel interesting. Not my favorite Call of Duty, but it's one of the best looking ones to date. Smoothest running, and the zombies mode is back to round based, and I love the shit out of that. Don't be shocked if I don't stream that in the future, because I'm trying to go through, do the Easter eggs and the other shit you gotta do. So I'm enjoying the hell out of it. I always enjoy this time of year. Getting to just play that game with my buddies, kind of turn off my brain, is always really nice. So yeah, I'm gonna keep playing that for a while. Just got my shipment of the 16-bit Halloween and Evil Dead games. I think I'm committed to streaming those next. Because I feel like I want to capture that footage anyway. And instead of capturing it and then streaming it, I figure I enjoy getting you guys seeing my like first in-person reaction. So that's going to be what I stream next. All right, guys. So we're at the point for Patreon questions, and Jim does this infinitely better than me, but you can support us at patreon.com/drinkabeerandplayagame. For as little as $2, you can ask us a question that we will answer on each and every one of these Power Hour podcasts. With our $1 tier, you can see Jim's Krusty Corner, some behind-the-scenes videos, some bonus content, and then we have other tiers for movie reviews. So always truly appreciate you guys supporting us. I always ask, make sure, get your questions in. Doesn't matter if you want to double, triple up because you missed it a few times. Get them in. We love asking, getting questions from you guys and being able to answer it. So, this week we only have the one question from our buddy Burn Retinas, and it is, should there be an age limit for trick-or-treating, or just keep it fun for everyone game enough to dress up? Should there be an age limit? Alright, so, if you show up to my door and you're just like a 40-year-old dude, if you're dressed up, whatever. I'll give you candy. I'm of that mentality. If you're like a teenager and you're too cool to dress up, that's kind of a dick move. But you know what? Honestly, if a kid's coming up and just asking for candy, I don't care enough. I'm not going to have some moral high ground where I'm like, nope, no costume, no candy. Now, I'm at a weird spot where I live off a main road. So we don't get many trick-or-treaters. So it's not even an issue. In my old neighborhood, we got a ton of them. Yeah, I'm all for just people having fun at Halloween time. When I take my kids out, they always want me to dress up. And honestly, I wait so long that I end up recycling some of my old costumes. But I'm not going up trick-or-treating. My kids are. So yeah, I think, Burned, I don't think there's an age limit. I think the only thing you should do is get dressed up. That being said, if teenagers come, and as long as they're polite, they say trick or treat, they do the things, give them candy. Now, if they're just being assholes and like just shoving a bag in front of you or trying to reach in, I think you can have the right to be like, no, you're not getting it. But be aware, depending on where you live, those same teenagers that were being assholes with that may egg your house, may throw toilet paper. I don't know. Depends on what they do the night before a mischief night, which I used to get in way too much trouble for as a kid. So, yeah, keep trick-or-treating fun. I actually shared this. I don't know if it was on this podcast or a different one. But I go so crazy for Halloween in my house that I've gotten random anonymous letters from people thanking me for how much I decorate. And the last one was from this awesome company that makes specialty Halloween and horror movie stickers. And they basically said, thank you for keeping Halloween spooky. Like, keep up the great work. So I am so much into Halloween for those reasons, because when I was a kid, that's the kind of neighborhood I grew up in, and my mom and dad were always about it. So don't be that guy that's too cool for Halloween. I think that's the biggest dork out there. Don't do that shit. Enjoy it. Have fun with your friends. Go trick-or-treating. So hope that answered you, Burned. And as always, guys, please make sure, get your questions in. I always appreciate reading them. And I love giving you guys feedback. So with that, cheers. All right, guys. So now this is the time of the episode where I'm going to just start diving into what I call mini top tens. And it's all focused on Halloween. And I want to start us off with gaming. So when I was trying to create a list of like the 10 best games to play for Halloween, I wasn't necessarily just saying these are the scariest or even the best games. These are just games that I instinctively, when I think Halloween, my mind kind of goes to. So I always caveat when I do these lists, you may disagree. You may not see your game on there. You may think something obvious is missing. And it very well could be. But let me get started. And I will say, they're in no particular order. So don't assume that like what I start with is number 10. I just want to go through 10 games. So the first game that is a definite for Halloween and you can do with the kiddos, Luigi's Mansion. I just beat that for the first time a year ago, maybe two. And it's just silly, goofy fun. You're in a haunted house as Luigi, sucking up ghosts and just trying to solve a mystery. My kid saw me play it. He was all about it. I have Luigi's Mansion 3 and I haven't played it yet. And I know the second one, I think, is available now on the Switch. So, complete pleasure of a game to play. And like I said, if you want to do something with the family, that's going to actually be my only recommendation that is family friendly. So, I needed to get one of those in there. It was tough for me to choose which one to go with, but that's an obvious choice. So, next, I go Castlevania 4 all the way. There's a lot of debate as to what the best Castlevania is. I don't think it's Symphony of the Night. I know that's probably the most important to the series. But every year, I need to play some Castlevania. I tend to lean towards the older titles. I actually was a huge fan of the... what was the one that came on Xbox? Lord of Shadows... Yeah, Lord of Shadows. I actually really liked that game. I know it got blasted. I thought it was an amazing game. But for just a pick up and play on a spooky night, that Castlevania 4 has like such an amazing opening. And I still always maintain that is the best controlled Castlevania game. I'm not going to get into a debate. Oh, is it better than Bloodlines? I think it is by a long shot. Bloodlines does some great things too, but Castlevania 4 just feels right. The soundtrack is, to me, unmatched, and it's probably one of the easier Castlevanias I found to beat. So if you find yourself, it's Halloween night and trick-or-treaters are done or it's a little bit early, you could easily go through this one in one night. Next, I have my all-time favorite game, Resident Evil 1 Remake. Just like Luigi's Mansion, there's something about being in a big mansion with monsters. And in that particular game, the graphics are so updated. You have lightning coming in and it like gives that awesome lighting effect. I think that game still stands a test of time. And while Resident Evil is going through this current stage of let's remake everything, that's one that I still don't think they need to touch. I don't even need it with a new engine. Leave it alone. The HD remaster that they did of it, perfect enough. There's nothing I don't like about that game. They fixed the tank controls with it. They added the stuff with Lisa Trevor, which made it so much better. And, of course, the Crimson Head zombies. So, yeah, that game, total classic. There's no way I was going to mention a Halloween list without mentioning Resident Evil. And for me, it's always going to be Resident Evil 1. All right, next one. This is one you're not going to beat in one night. But if you want to get the right setting for Halloween, Bloodborne. I'm not really a Souls-style gamer. I don't enjoy them. The grind is a little bit too much for me because I don't get the same enjoyment. It's not that they're too difficult at all, because it's one of those ones where you kind of know if I keep going, I keep ranking up, you will eventually beat it. Bloodborne, I think, turned it on its head, where I've always been someone who hates the idea of just standing there and blocking. You need to be on the assault the whole time. And yes, while you're still diving away, I think that one plays the best of any of the Souls games. And that setting can't be fucked with. All the other ones, good. But the gothic, very monster-heavy settings with vampires, werewolves, all kinds of crazy shit going on. I don't know. That may be my favorite setting in any video game. I played it all the way through. I got I forget how many endings there are. Three? I really can't remember. But I got all the endings. Absolutely love that game. Even if you don't get out of the first area, even if you get the old Yharnam and that's it, it's worth it to just set the mood for Halloween, in my opinion. So the next one is one where I was like, all right, I need some multiplayer games on here. The first one is a newer game. It's Phasmophobia. And there are a lot of games like Demonologist and I can't remember the other one that you can currently go on PC or Steam and you can play with some buddies. And they all kind of revolve around the same thing, trying to find ghosts, spirits, whatever. You're using EMF, you're using black lights, you're using all these techniques to try and figure out what the spirit is, how to banish it. So they could be all interchangeable to some degree. That's just one I found was really fun. I was actually introduced to it by one of our buddies, Z. And it's been a lot of fun. I actually wish I could just play it more. But as a game that's more contemporary and you could play it, I would say go with that one if you want to become a real-life ghost hunter. The next one is one that had legit creep me out. And it's the Mortuary Assistant. So I actually... I'm pretty sure I streamed this one. And... you know, games can get you with jump scares anytime, but this one, the creepiness that you're going to feel playing this, because there are a lot of different endings. At minimum, I think there's 5. There may be more than that, if I remember correctly, but doesn't matter how many times you play through it. There's so many things that will happen differently from time to time from the different spirits or whatever you want to call them that you're going to deal with, and there are some really good jump scares, and it's just so creepy because you're alone in a mortuary and you hear the sound of rain on the outside, and there's no real like the moments of any kind of noise are really just what's going on in a mortuary. There is a very, very subtle soundtrack, and it picks up at certain heightened moments, but outside of that, I think it's this silence that really gets me with this game. So super creepy. I think you can get through at least one of the endings in an hour and a half to 2 hours. So should be no problem for you to pick this one up and just try it. Now, if you want something that's you can play with your buddies on the console, how can you go wrong with Zombies Ate My Neighbors? This is another one you're sure as shit not going to beat in one night. And if you do, congrats to you. I could never do that. It's got all the classic monster tropes, slasher tropes, a great soundtrack. I don't care which one you play it on, Super NES, Sega Genesis. It's just stupid, silly fun. So if you have some buddies over and you take turns trying to go through all the levels, you're not going to have a bad time. So that one is definitely an easy, got to be on my list. So the next one is, I think, the best AI enemy I've ever faced in a video game, and that's Alien Isolation. The game is amazing by itself, just with what you need to do, but the friggin' intelligence of that xenomorph is unparalleled. Like, we've seen Nemesis, we've seen Tyrants, we've seen all these other games that try it, and they do well. But this game, like, man, oh man, like, you're hiding for your life. You talk about being nervous when that thing, if you're in a locker and you don't hold your breath and it pulls you out, it's frustrating but rewarding all at the same time. Truly, like, one of the best mixes of just a beautiful game to look at, but just so well done. So, first-person horror games, sometimes I feel like rely a little bit too much on the gross-out factor, like the Outlast series. Not saying they're bad games, but they, like, I think the shock value with what you're seeing overplays the gameplay. This game, gameplay takes, it is at the top, along with the looks. So, if you haven't tried it, it's a must try. Now, I started this whole podcast talking about games I've played, and you know me, I had to mention something by Puppet Combo. So I always think, like, what would be an appropriate game for someone new to Puppet Combo? And I was going to go with Stay Out of the House, and that could be a great choice. But I actually went with Murder House. And the reason being is, it's a shorter game. It introduces you to the concept of a kind of crazy story. There's a lot going on. Maybe some supernatural elements. With plenty of gore and that whole, like, you're trying to survive, but it's not an impossible game. I feel like as an introductory game, because a lot of people probably still don't know who Puppet Combo is, I think that is a perfectly good one to start with. If you are familiar with Puppet Combo, then that's when I would say go Stay Out of the House, or even Nun Massacre if you really want to dive in deeper. But Murder House, great first start. So now we're at the final game. I had a lot of heartburn on this one because it's a game I talk about all the time. But if you're going to talk about horror icons and things, you got to mention Dead by Daylight. They have Halloween, Saw, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Pinhead, Chucky. Like, the list goes on and on. Scream. Like, if you... Other than, like, Jason Voorhees, they've pretty much captured everything, and now they even have Castlevania in there. So, yes, the game has its difficulties. Yes, the community is not that great. But if you want a horror game, whether you're playing as the killer or the survivor, it's a great one for Halloween. And the thing I like about Dead by Daylight is they always have the Halloween events going on. So, you get a little bit added layer of goofiness when you're playing. So... those are my top 10 games that you should try out for Halloween. I hope you guys enjoyed that. Please let me know in the comments below, what games would you add, or what games are your, like, go-to on Halloween time? As I said, I'm sure I missed a lot of them. All right, so now we talked about what you can play on Halloween, but now let's talk about what you should be watching. I am a firm believer, Christmas time, Halloween time, there are movies that I watch annually without fail, and these top 10 are movies that, for the most part, I'm probably gonna watch. And looking through this list, I've actually watched all of them but, like, two of them so far this year. So these are, once again, not saying they're the best horror movies, not even saying they're definitively the best Halloween movies. These are, to me, what spell Halloween. And I want to hear from you guys which ones you agree with and which ones you would add something else. So let's get this started with, for me, the greatest Halloween movie of all time is Trick or Treat. This movie, I think it was my 30th birthday. I don't even remember which birthday it was, but I set up a projector outside. in the middle of fall because my birthday is in early October. Had a bunch of people over, getting drunk, and I played Trick or Treat for a lot of them that had never even seen it. And it's just got nothing looks more like Halloween than this movie. Like, the color orange is prominently displayed. Sam is, to me, should be on the Mount Rushmore of horror icons. I just love each story. I love how they intermingle. And you know what? The movie only is like an hour and 20 minutes. It's a very short movie, so you can digest it really quick. Be on your way. This past weekend, actually, had some family and friends over. I had a big-ass fire going in the fire pit. Set up the projector. Put on Trick or Treat right after we watched Scream. And you know what? Some people were suckered into it. I just liked having it in the background with the noise. So, to me, number one, that is definitely the definitive you gotta watch on Halloween. Of course, you can't talk about Halloween without the original Halloween movie. I feel like for horror franchises, Halloween is very divisive. Like, most people agree, the original, complete classic. Then there's a lot of feelings on most of the movies in between. I feel like a lot of people can appreciate H2O, but because it ends up going where it goes after that, a lot of people disregard it. The remake, the Rob Zombie remake, I actually like the original remake. Yes, it had that very similar Rob Zombie quality of like, I'm just going to curse because I'm cursing. It's going to be overtly violent, but like, that made Michael Myers to me so much scarier, how friggin' big that dude was. Tyler Mane, I think his name was, the guy who played the wrestler who played Sabretooth. Dude was huge, and that was violent as shit, and you're like, holy shit. Before then, Michael was getting his ass whooped by Busta Rhymes, so you couldn't take him serious. And then you had the 2018, I think it's 2018, Halloween Yet Again, which once again, I actually like that one. The two after that, Halloween Ends and Halloween Kills, like, not fan of, but whichever Halloween movie you want to pick from the franchise is the one I say go with. Whichever one's your favorite. Me, I always do the original. And you know what? I'll be honest. We just went to a drive-in theater for the first time I've ever gone. I'm not going to say the movie aged amazingly, especially because I've seen it so many times now, but there is, that soundtrack alone is worth the price of admission if you're going to be playing it on Halloween night. So you can't go wrong with it. The next is another anthology movie that nobody talks about, and it's called Tales of Halloween. This is one with, I want to say, 5 or 6 short stories. And unlike Trick or Treat, it's a little bit longer. Has Adrienne Barbeau in there. It has a couple people that you may or may not know. If you're into horror, you know them. But it's just a nice, random, very weird mixture of stories. And I'm not going to say the movie is amazing, but it is another great one where you just see very unique settings that all happen to happen on Halloween. Some are like very great twists. Others are like, what the hell am I watching? It's something the wife and I watch every year. We're kind of suckers for. So I think you should give it a try if you like anthology films. The next one, I'm going to turn many people off because I'm probably still the only weirdo who's willing to watch a black and white silent film, but Nosferatu. It's my favorite vampire movie of all time. The cinematography of that movie, the images that are rendered from his shadow, how he rises, still get to me today. And I can remember being a kid getting so scared of this movie. And the only reason I found out about this movie was Are You Afraid of the Dark did a version of it where they did this like vampire in a theater, kind of like Last Action Hero, where the vampire comes out of the movie. And he was modeled after Nosferatu. Once I found that out and found the original Nosferatu, shit is still creepy as hell to today. So you got to be in the mood to watch a silent film. You may not like it, but good God, it's still creepy to me. The next is one that is all about setting, tone, violence and just, I just love the movie. It's Sleepy Hollow, from Tim Burton with Johnny Depp, Christopher Walken. You know, Tim Burton has his style, and a lot of it actually is based off German Expressionism, kind of like Nosferatu and Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, with all the twisted architecture and Gothic settings. He just hits the nail on the head. I always loved the cartoon version of Adventures of Ichabod, and I love that story of the Headless Horseman. So in whatever year this came out, I remember going to movies with my girlfriend in high school or whatever age I was, and just loving the shit out of it. It probably has some of the most amount of decapitations in a major horror movie I've ever seen. And you know what? That one still holds up today. So from setting, from everything else, that is just a beautiful movie to look at. The next one. Oh boy, the next one. We got Ernest Scared Stupid. Now I know this is a ridiculous movie. You could say that about any Ernest movie, but this is one now I watch with my kids every year for the past 2 or 3 years. I watch it as a kid. I couldn't tell you about any other Ernest movie off the top of my head the way I could with this. Just the opening credit sequence with all those random ass monster movies and Ernest making goofy faces was like enough to pull me in. But still watching it today, Jim Varney is a friggin' national treasure, and losing him was so sad because he's just goofy to the extreme, and he makes a joke of the joke, like the whole you got to kill trolls with milk, but he's missed the L and he keeps calling it Miak, and he actually found some Miak. Like the movie is crazy. And a little bit of trivia for you guys, if you're fans of Killer Clowns from Outer Space, they reuse some of those models for the trolls in this movie, so keep an eye out for that. The only other thing I'll say about this movie is there is a legit creepy scene, like when the troll is in the bed or turns the kid that's stuck into the marsh. Like, turning kids into little dolls, that idea was creepy as shit. So the movie is, it's goofy, but you know what? It's another one. Halloween to the bone. All right, so the next one, got to go with 80s, got to go vampire movie. And when you hear 80s and vampires, your mind's going to go one of two ways. Mine goes to Fright Night. I love the shit out of Lost Boys, and that's right there with it. But when I think Halloween, Fright Night is the movie. I actually just watched this 2 nights ago. And once again, the soundtrack just fucking hits with this movie. And this is practical effects done perfectly. The acting is perfectly suitable, but you know what? The movie is great. My wife, she loves the remake, but I think that's more because she liked Colin Farrell. And the remake did get shit on a bit. I think it's fine, but nothing's going to fuck with the original. So if you want an 80s vampire movie that tried to bring back the idea of like Hammer horror and put it in an 80s setting, they did it perfectly, because they also kind of combined it with Rear Window and Hitchcock. Like, you got this kid who's spying on his neighbor that just happens to be a vampire. No one believes him. Shocker. And he's got to take things into his own hands. So great, great movie. So the next two are what I would call the family friendly ones. The one that you can't mention without mentioning Halloween, Nightmare Before Christmas. Is it a Halloween movie? Is it a Christmas movie? It's both. And if you have kids especially, I always think that's one of the easiest ways to introduce them to Halloween-style movies. Probably not going to scare them. It's goofy, but the claymation is just still holds up to today. Creeps some people out, but you can't do Halloween without seeing that movie. The next one is one where I am completely taking the easy route, and I'm going to say whatever is your go-to other kids-style Halloween movie, my kids love Goosebumps too because it's set on Halloween. They see all the monsters. My wife and my daughter, obsessed with Hocus Pocus. My son, Adam's Family. Any insert anything kids related. Like you could do Monster House, but pick one of those. I think of those movies, I've seen Hocus Pocus now so many times that yes, of course you could do that. But Goosebumps 2 is kind of like another one. Not a great movie by any stretch, but it's so goofy and it's perfect for my kids. So that's one I'll go with for this category. And the final one, I decided to go with Monster Squad, showing my love of the 80s and practical effects. I was trying to go through like which Universal horror movie I wanted, but I kind of already captured older movies with Nosferatu. I was going to go for a super gory movie, but I was like, yeah, that's not really selling it to Halloween to me. This movie has all the classic monsters in a 80s setting, has some great one-liners. Wolfman's got nards, of course. And it's another one. It holds up so well, regardless of the style and the music, and even the slang used in the movie, it still holds up today. I've never seen anyone watch Monster Squad and be like, yeah, fuck that movie. Because it's a great movie. So that right there is my 10 movies you got to watch around Halloween time to get you in the Halloween mood. I will put one caveat out there. I definitely think you should be watching Treehouse of Horror. I don't care which episodes, if it's multiple episodes, you should be watching that because that's another thing you could absolutely just binge on and get your full Halloween fix. So check out any of these movies. Let me know what you guys think. Let me know what movies I'm missing or if you disagree with me because I always love to hear that too. All right, next, it's not really a top 10. I just wanted to cover, since we are a beer and game site, I wanted to cover beers I think you should be drinking during Halloween. So I cut off basically pumpkin beers as soon as Halloween's done. I move into winter warmers and other heavier style beers around Thanksgiving and especially Christmas. So I get my fill through September and October, and then I cut that shit off. So the list will be kind of heavy with pumpkin beers, but I did throw in some ones that aren't just pumpkin in case you hate pumpkin beers. And I get it. Some people do not like it whatsoever. That's fine. Everyone can like whatever they want. So the first one I'm actually going to throw up is good old Sam Adams, Jacko. As I said, as I'm drinking through this, that sweet cinnamon flavor is so strong and it goes down way too smooth. It's only 4.4%. So you're going to be able to drink through a lot of these bad boys and it's not even going to affect you. So I think as a staple starter, in case you don't like pumpkin beers, this is a perfectly good one to begin with. Next, I'm going on to the Evil Genius Trick or Treat. It's their chocolate pumpkin porter, and porter is a style that you don't see enough of. You usually just go right to stout or other styles, and porter is just like a stout. They're very, very similar, but I feel like there's just a little bit more of a coffee flavor to it, and I love coffee with like chocolate undertones. So the Trick or Treat is 7.8%, so it's a bit stronger. And Evil Genius, for the most part, has never really let me down. So if you're looking for something that's a perfect, like kind of heavier beer, especially if you're out trick or treating, you won't need a lot of these. Just take one or two. It's like having a dessert. So skip the candy, pick up a can of this, you'll enjoy yourself. So the next one, this is going to sound weird. I'm not shitting on the beer itself because I actually really like it. But just from the label alone, the All Hallows Treat from Omegang, this one, like, it's the font, it's the style, like the way the word treat is written reminds me so much of the old Tales from the Crypt and like EC Comics style font for those. It's 7.6%. It's their Imperial Chocolate Peanut Butter Stout. Listen, I know I'm about to talk about best candy, but you can't fuck with chocolate and peanut butter in my eyes. Like Reese's is my favorite thing of all time. In a beer, chocolate peanut butter, you got my heart already. So you really can't mess with it. I would say If you hate peanut butter, don't go for this one because the peanut butter is kind of strong. But it's another very desserty style beer. So let me switch over to a different style for you guys and go with the Nosferatu Double Red IPA. I've actually covered this on this podcast, and it's from Great Lakes Brewing. Comes in at 8%. So if you're not looking for a very sugary beer, if you're not looking for something with, you know, crazy dessert style flavors, there's nothing desserty about this. This is an IPA through and through. It's not too bitter though, which is nice. And talk about a can. Like, oh my God, the label on this bad boy, freaky as shit. The old label was cool. The new one, they really just outdid themselves. So this is one of the rare times where I feel like a brewery finally stepped up and was like, we're going to make our labels even better versus going minimalistic. Next one is probably one that's more nationally available and well-known, and that's the Allagash Haunted House, the Hoppy Black Ale Delight. So this is a black Belgian-style ale, 6.66%. You know, they got to go with the whole theme. The can is very simple, but this is another one. It's very... very porterish. It's very nutty, coffee, like just dark flavors that are really good on a cold night. It's not my favorite of this list, but it's perfectly fine. And Allagash, for the most part, isn't really ever going to disappoint you. So give that one a try. My underrated gem, as people like to call things all the time, is... The Evil Dead, I'm going to fuck this one up. The Evil Dead Red. It's the, it's from Alesmith. It's a hoppy American red ale. Once again, 6.66%. This is the easiest drinking one that I'm offering up here, probably right next to the Jacko that I'm drinking. But this one doesn't have really any sweetness. It's just a very easy to drink red ale. And if you've ever had an Irish ale, it's very similar in that vein, where this is one you could drink a couple throughout the night and be fine and not have like too much of a heavy stomach feeling for. So if you're able to find it, give it a try. A lot of people don't know about this beer. Next is a little bit more of an expensive beer, but it's from a company that is very well known and for good reason. It's the Three Floyd Zombie Dust, 6.5%. This is a very, very, it's not an IPA. It's just a pale ale, so it's bitter, but man, is it good. I've never had anything from Three Floyds where I wasn't like, dear God, if they just didn't cost so much, I'd buy them all the time. And it's another one where the can itself is just the selling point for a lot of people. So you're never going to go wrong with Three Floyds. Give this one a try if you don't want to go the pumpkin route. And then I only got two more left. It wouldn't be Halloween without a good old pumpkin. Another beer Jim and I have talked about many times. Very divisive. People feel like it's candy corn or pumpkin pie just thrown up into a beer. I don't think that at all. I think it does have a lot of great flavors. But it is the most, when you hear the term pumpkin beer, I think this is what people imagine it tastes like. So you got to be ready for a lot of intense flavors. If you do not like cinnamon, if you don't like nutmeg, vanilla, all the flavors of pumpkin, avoid it. But for those who know, you know. And the last one, it's what I would consider a little bit of an unsung hero. And it's one that will fuck you up the most. I'm going with the Saucony Creek Brewing's Maple Mistress. Another one I've mentioned on this podcast many times. 9.5%. Sometimes it gets as high as 10%. Depends on the brew. I don't know why it changes from time to time. But it's got rum flavors. It's got maple syrup in there. It's butternut squash. Like, there's a lot going on. So it's not exactly just a pumpkin beer. There's layers of shit going on, and you will taste that sugar because it's an imperial ale and it is such high percentage. I'm going to warn you, one or two tops. These things hit you hard. They sit heavy, but man, are they friggin' delicious. I just happened to be in a Weiss market and saw it there where I had never seen it in any other beer store. You can find them pretty easily right now, but man, is this a bad, this is a badass beer. You got to try it if you have the chance. If you don't love pumpkin, that's fine. I think you taste more of the maple syrup than anything when you drink this beer. So try it out, but just be warned, you're going to get drunk as shit. So guys, what I want to hear from you all, do you have a go-to Halloween beer? We talk movies, we talk beers, everyone has their traditions. Maybe some people don't play games. Maybe some people don't like horror movies. And I know for a fact, a lot of people, they don't like beer. But I think everyone can agree around Halloween time, I don't care who you are, I don't care how fit you are, if it's Halloween and you're a household that gets candy, chances are you're reaching in and picking out some of your favorites. So I found this list. It's from Thrillist. It's from 2022, a little bit older, but they ranked the best Halloween candies of all time. So there are 31 candies to go through. So let's take a quick look at it. All right. So we got 31 candies to go through. Let's take a look and see what we think. So first up, number 31, good old Smarties. And you know what? As a kid, I love the shit out of these. As an adult, when my kids come home from trick-or-treating, half their goddamn bag are filled with Smarties because you can get a million of these fuckers and people give them out like hotcakes. Yes, they are quite a bit chalky, but you know what? Once in a while, they're fine. I will never go out of my way and actually purchase these, but I can always expect around Halloween time to try some. Number 30, and this is a fucking violation. They put Airheads at number 30. Back in my old neighborhood, my house was always swarmed with people because my mom would give out full-size friggin' Airheads. She went to Costco where BJ's one of them and would just get the crazy amount of them. I would always have to steal as many of the white ones as I could because I love the shit out Airheads. I still like them today. I don't like them as much as I was a kid. The fact that they're number 30, I am very fascinated to see what the hell is going to happen with the rest of these. Number 29, we got Jolly Ranchers. Okay. One of the better hard candies, I'll say. Again, I found more enjoyment out of Jolly Ranchers by melting them in vodka when I was in college and making drinks with them than actually eating them. So, yeah, okay. They should be where they're at. Number 28, Sour Patch Kids. Ooh, I love me some Sour Patch Kids. Especially the really super sour, like the extreme sour ones. I fuck with sour candy all the time. So, yeah, Sour Patch Kids. Another one I feel like probably could be higher on this list. But let's keep going. Number 27, we got Runts. Fucking Runts. Oh, my God. I did love Runts, and I'm sorry. The banana ones are the best. People may argue, I don't care. Banana's the best. But even showing up on this list, I'm a little shocked. Maybe there's not as much candy out there as I thought there was, but putting Runts above Sour Patch Kids and Airheads, that's some bold shit. All right, I'm already seeing some of the lists as I go down. I'm already seeing I'm going to probably disagree with a lot of this. So number 26, we got Blow Pops. I'm sorry, for Halloween candy, I hate, and as a father, I'm always leery of, like, I have to check all the candy and Blow Pops. Like, the wrapper never is always quite on that well. I'm always leery of letting them have that. Yes, it is cool. You can get the gum in the center. Yes, I loved them as a kid. I don't think it should be this high, even this high on this list. Fucking 25 is Whoppers. All right. I like malt. I actually am one of the weirdos who can still drink a glass of Ovaltine and actually enjoy it. But fucking Whoppers? Nobody likes Whoppers. Get it off this list. Get the fuck out of here. 24, Milk Duds. I don't feel like chewing for an hour. They are fine. I think there's better candy. That's all I'm going to say. 23, Milky Way. Man, another violation. The perfect amount of caramel and chocolate nougat or whatever it is. Yeah, Milky Way is one of the better candy bars. Should be higher up on here. I'm also a big fan of chocolate. So number 22, Laffy Taffy. Laffy Taffy. Get this shit out of here. Once again, Laffy Taffy is one of those things, like, if you got them, great. I've never reached in and be like, oh boy, let me get the Laffy Taffies. Fucking list. All right, 21, Nerds. I do love me some Nerds. I actually haven't had Nerds in years. I kind of want Nerds now. All right. 20 is Skittles. Woo! Woo! I mean, I love Skittles. I don't think there's a flavor of Skittles I don't like. And when I say that, I mean, like, they got the tropical ones, the regular ones. Like, I know they have sour. Like, they got a lot of different Skittles. Another great one. But what I will say is, by the end of the bag of Skittles and we throw too many, man, your jaw is going to be hurting from chewing those shits. Number 19, Payday. This always reminds me of an old person candy. Yet every time I have it, I am such a fan of peanuts and caramel that, like, I'm like, it goes really well. But I feel like I don't even see Paydays that often. And I certainly don't see anyone, like, bring them the shit. I don't even think my kids have gotten them in a couple years. So, yeah, I wouldn't say it should be number 19. Number 18, gummy bears. Specifically, Haribo gummies. Yeah, anything gummy, I'm down. Should be higher on the list. 17, Junior Mints. All right, so here's the deal. Junior Mints, that is a movie theater candy. I don't associate that with Halloween. I know people can give it out. I love Junior Mints, but when I think of them, just like the cookie dough bites, they're a movie theater treat. And the, what are they called? Oh my God. It's going to kill me. So snow caps. Yeah. Snow caps. All those, movie theater. Number 16, Twizzlers. Love me Twizzlers. As every other kid probably did. Loved biting the top and the bottom off, using it as a straw with some soda. Eventually it got too mushy, but man, did I think it was a cool trick. So I'm all for it. All right. Number 15, Baby Ruth. Basically the reason why paydays are not loved at all, because what's better than a payday? Just cover it in fucking chocolate and you're going to make anything better. So I can accept it there. Number 14, M&Ms. Ooh, you're getting me scared with what's above it, because I would think M&Ms should be higher. Who doesn't love M&Ms? And it doesn't, I doubt they have them separated based on the way this is written up. Peanut M&Ms, almond M&Ms, crispy M&Ms, peanut butter. Like, dude, you can't go wrong with M&Ms. 13, flavored Tootsie Rolls. No. My wife loves these. I don't fuck with Tootsie Rolls anymore. I'm sorry. They're basically chocolate or fruit flavored Laffy Taff, not even Laffy Taffies, saltwater taffies to me at this point. Not a consistency I enjoy anymore. Should be on this list, absolutely, but number 13 over M&M's, fucking Baby Ruth's, nah. 12, a Heath bar. I'm sorry, I'm not in Britain. I don't know a single friend of mine that's ever been like, hey, can we stop and I'm going to get a Heath bar. I don't know the last person who's ever asked for a Heath bar. So get this shit out of here. This is America. Get it out of here. Number 11, Starburst. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Pink Starburst, they're the best. Another one I'm not willing to debate. They're the best for a reason. Definitely should be on here. I think that's probably appropriate for the placement. Number 10, Hershey's bars. And they are counting, like, cookies and cream and the ones with almonds and everything and nuts. Yeah, no, they need to be top 10. If you just want a piece of chocolate, there's something so satisfying about just a straight up Hershey's bar. And we just made s'mores this past weekend, so there's nothing better than that. Number 9, Reese's Pieces. All right. Once again, I feel like they should be higher, but amazing. Love Reese's Pieces. Got nothing bad to say. Number 8, Nestle Crunch. Huh. I don't agree with that. I think Hershey's bar should be above. Nestle's Crunch is that thing like you got to be in the mood for. And even if like there's more going on, it makes it more interesting than a Hershey's bar. I feel like I could have a Hershey's bar at any time. But Nestle's, yeah, it should be on this list, but not at number 8. That's a little bit of craziness. Mr. Good Bar? Really? Just chocolate and peanut? Nah, that's another one. I would have actually put Mr. Good Bar with the Hershey's. I would have combined them. They shouldn't be two separate things. I don't agree with that. Number 6, 100 grand. Oh my God, I have not had one of those in so long. Those were like basically my favorite as a kid. I remember thinking they were fancy too because they were 100 grand, but there was so much going on in those things. Like there's caramel, there's chocolate. Did they have like the crispy rice things in the center? Damn, now I need to go get 100 grand. Number 5, Butterfinger. Oh, fuck, man. I'm getting hungry now. Fuck me. Yeah, Butterfingers are great. Obviously, if you grew up like I did, it really exploded with Bart Simpson. And there was something so satisfying about getting a Butterfinger. You bite the chocolate, like, outer sleeve off, and you're just left with that, like, friggin' whatever toffee peanut butter mixture. Oh, I love that. Man, peanut butters are great. Number 4, Kit Kat. Another one I can't really disagree with. I put Kit Kat and Butterfinger always side by side, so I'm actually fine with this, where they're placed right here. You could interchange them, but I think they're both great. Number 3, Snickers. Favorite candy bar as a kid. I remember when we had a contest in school to sell them, I think I like turned around and used my allowance just to buy the ones I was supposed to be selling because I loved them so much. Still another great one. Once in a while, having a Snickers. Oh, so much going on in them. Number 2, Twix. Ooh, okay. I may actually agree. Even though Snickers was my favorite as a kid, chances are if I'm standing in a line and I really want a piece of candy because I haven't had it, Twix have been my go-to for a while. This is another one where I fuck around and used to do the thing where I would try to bite the caramel and the chocolate off the top to just leave the wafer or whatever the fuck it is, the cookie. Yeah. Twix is there. And number 1, Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. I mean, I can base how much I'm going to get along with you if you do or do not like Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. And quite frankly, anyone who I've ever met who likes Reese's Peanut Butter Cup tends to have them as their favorite. So while there's some spots on this list I don't agree with at all, they pretty much covered it. I'm trying to think, is there any candy that they missed? I guess they got them all. All right, Thrill List. I see what you're doing. So, guys, you let me know in the comments below. Is there anything missing, obvious, that I missed? Any placements you disagree with? I want to hear from you guys. As I said at the beginning, this was going to be a little bit of a deviation from our usual episodes because it's Halloween. I wanted to get this out. I want you guys to just have some fun, talk some Halloween shop with me. I hope you guys are able to play some Halloween games, watch some movies, enjoy it, go trick-or-treating with your kids, go trick-or-treating by yourself, give out candy, just enjoy yourself, enjoy the holiday. And with that, guys, I want to say have a good night and cheers.